I'm Doug Keck, and welcome to a special multimedia bookmark with our guest Immaculee Ilibagiza, talking about her latest series on EWTN, I Forgive, and also the DVD series that is available through our EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com, All Things Catholic. Oh, it's a pleasure to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Right, and people remember you were on in the fall with Father Mitch Pacwa,
yes,
talking about this exciting new series, mm-hmm, I Forgive, with Immaculee Ilibagiza, and multiple programs that you've been working on.
Yes.
And a lot of the ideas from this came from working with you and our production team, John Elson and his team, really playing off of your original work, I Forgive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having to do with your own personal experiences,
yes,
in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. And I'm so glad now I can see other people who have gone through the hardest time to forgive. So these have really been a blessing for me more than anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the idea of the program then obviously was to pick other people who had stories similar,
mm-hmm,
in the sense that their Catholic faith helped them to overcome,
yeah,
tragic situations,
mm-hmm,
to the point of being willing to forgive those who maybe could be held accountable,
mm-hmm,
which seems to be, in a world we have today, an almost impossible task.
Yes. It does, you know, but it's also easy. It is really also easy to forgive. And I realized through my experience, I would not be here today if I have not come to forgive the killers of my family and those who were looking to kill me. I would have been dead because I would have tried to revenge. And when you think about revenging, you don't think about what other people are capable to do. You think it's just you can do that, you know, unrealistic things. So now to see where I am, sharing that message, and really God opening the doors to be able to share, mm-hmm, with the world about this experience of forgiveness and the blessing it brought into my life. So, and now to be able to see it into other people's lives. So forgiveness is such a huge subject. When I wrote my book, Left to Tell, it was really when I realized that it's just not me who dealt with that. If it is one thing, and I wrote about many blessings God have done for me, mm-hmm, one of them, to learn the power of prayer, you know, to learn the power of love. I mean, our Lord told us, love one another, love him above all, and love one another. And every war, every family that they get destroyed, the basis of all is about lack of love somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody have failed to love. So I learned really what matters, as our church, our Catholic church teaches us, what matters in life. But forgiveness, by far, is number one thing people come and tell me, thank you for,
right,
sharing with us that experience of forgiveness. And sometimes it's not things you think are so big. They're big in people's eyes. There's no one story that I can ever underplay and think, oh, that is too small. Because I've heard stories of people who have taken their lives because of something you think is small.
Right.
A friend who rejected somebody. You know, a child who lost a friend, who lost somebody, and then they take their lives away. So he have told me not to take anybody's pain less,
mm-hmm,
care for it, but also to see,
right,
what can happen on the other side when you're able to let go and forgive.
Right.
There's a beautiful story of one girl who told me, she said she had prepared to kill herself, to commit suicide. So she wrote a letter, all the pain she was going through, people have hurt her, her family. So she wrote a letter to them and telling them, okay, this is it. I'm taking my life away.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody have given her my book, Left to Tell,
mm-hmm,
told her about my story. But she didn't want to read it. She said, it must be too much suffering. I don't want to go there. So she said, since it was the last night of her life, she said, let me read that bad book. So she took it and she's reading. She read until the morning. By the morning, this is what she told me, because she came in a place I was giving a retreat. She said, in the morning, I have decided this God who helped this woman, I want to follow the same God.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to learn how she was able to do this, of course, using,
right,
the teaching of this God. So,
right,
she had to go to find a Catholic church.
Right.
And she was so happy, right, smiling. So Jesus is everything.
Well, one aspect, I think, and when we talk about the idea of the Catholic faith with this, is the concept of redemptive suffering,
yeah,
of understanding that suffering is not wasted, and you don't suffer because you did something wrong, right?
Yes, yes. That is so true. And I am so grateful. That is one of the Catholic Church teaching I really love so much. I mean, I don't know many other religion teaching, but that is something that I praise God for. Mm-hmm. And that was something Our Lady of Kibeho spoke about in Rwanda mm-hmm. when she came to Kibeho. So she said, love your suffering. Not that she wanted to make ourselves suffer, but when it happened, mm-hmm. as you work through to find solutions, praise God for that moment. Mm-hmm. Praise God for whatever is going on, because you will learn so much more than you could have ever learned. You will be blessed by just accepting that suffering and living through it. So we, many, of course, we heard in a church, but to hear Our Lady speaking about that mm-hmm. was, how is that possible? But slowly we started to do something she called self-mortification. Mm-hmm. So she would say, for example, if you were supposed to take a car to go to Mass, why don't you walk mm-hmm. and just offer that suffering to God? And for some reason, I feel good mm-hmm. when I make a sacrifice, when I mortify this body, when I was supposed to eat as much as I want for the day, and then I say, you know what, I'm going to eat once a day today, mm-hmm. and I'm going to do it for Jesus. And you know, there's some stuff, some things you can only understand when you do. Mm-hmm. Anytime I start to pray my rosary, there's always a voice that tells me, why don't you just text that person? Why don't you call that person first? Mm-hmm. There's so much resistance. Don't do that. Don't do that. You can do this better. You can do that. It is the same with self-mortification, going through, even will the suffering a little bit. Mm-hmm. You don't want it, but when you go through that, there's a joy that has just come from heaven. And that was the same also with suffering during the genocide. I remember I hid in the bathroom for 3 months. Right. Maybe many knows my story, know my story. For 3 months, I was being looked for to be killed in a place 3 by 4 feet with other 7 women. Mm-hmm. But I still remember hell the first 2 weeks when I was trying to resolve and to understand the situation alone. Mm-hmm. I still remember we start Our Father who art in heaven. I couldn't even pray. Second, Hail Mary, I couldn't continue because the anxiety, mm-hmm. the anger was too overwhelming. But the moment the situation became worse, when they come to search, to start searching for us. Right. And literally one day they stopped by 5 inches away. By the grace of God, they didn't find us. So I realized it wasn't up to me. It was really up to God. Mm-hmm. And I started to pray. As I pray and remember the message of Our Lady of Kibeho, remember the message of the Bible, forgive and give it to me, give it to God. Mm-hmm. I will offer and I will ask him for his help. I still remember just feeling like, I feel like my body's lifting from the ground because there's a joy that comes with prayer, mm-hmm. giving your suffering, accepting to suffer with Christ, meditating on his life. To this day, I love the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary. I love very much the 7 sorrows of Our Lady. You know, anytime I go through that, it is Our Lord reminding me, I love you this much. Mm-hmm. I accepted death for you. And this Mother Mary saying, I went through this, but I will never give up my son. And he was trying to save you. And I will be there even to the last in energy, the strength I have. So suffering has a way of redempting, but many times you go through it and leave it with Jesus, with God, meditating on his and Our Lady. That's when you really right. discover the joy you don't know that even existed. Right. Yeah.
And sometimes you find many times these things aren't apparent right away.
They're not.
They kind of,
yes,
you feel like, okay, well, I did what I thought, but I don't feel that much. But over time, things start to come together, don't they?
Yes, they do. But anyone who start to pray through suffering, you really start to feel something good. Mm-hmm. You don't know what it is, but right away, even the peace that comes from your heart is different than when you were anxious and trying to. The anger dissolves nothing. Right. It does nothing good, except that it gives you a headache, your stomach
right.
is
right,
aching.
Right, gives you the ulcer.
Yeah, right? Right. And there is a sense of a force justice.
Right.
You feel like, I remember the time when I said, okay, they hate me, I hate you, them more. Mm-hmm. Then what?
Right.
And then I'm the one who is still suffering. And somewhere there's a little bit of joy in that hate. But the situation was getting worse, and trying to pray, even just asking God, help me to forgive. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but I want to follow you. That was completely being in a better place than mm-hmm. when I was angry, self-righteous. How dare they can do that? Right. And then time came. So any suffering right. you live with Christ and give it to him, crying to him, because God, Our Lady never the same as our Lord. They never want us to suffer. However, it is a part of life. Right. And in order to save us, as long as we're in this exile of the world, Our Lord himself have to suffer mm-hmm. to be able to redeem us. So it is a way he showed us this is the life we live. you know, thank God there is a paradise. One day we are going to be really happy, you know, and never suffer again. But this is the journey. It's like a kid going to school. You can't just tell them that you're going to pass exams. You don't have to work hard. It's all going to be fun. If you turn to fun, you are going to fail. Right. And all these years, the sacrifice, then they're worth nothing.
It's how you grow spiritually many times.
Exactly. Right? You grow spiritually by accepting suffering, sacrificing. It's really part of that. If I have a day of like, all fun is all amazing, I'm always like, okay, I need hours to pray. I need to skip a meal. Yeah. Because some way you just feel you are that is not real, that followed by suffering that of lack of peace. So a good day of having fun with friends is nice to follow with a day of silence, recollecting yourself. Because that's where we are meant to be there, to remain with the suffering Jesus.
Right, and have the gratitude for that great day you had and the friends that you have, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, in the program itself, I forgive, at the end of the program, we actually feature Father Thomas Berg and Dr. Timothy Locke, who actually have a book called Choosing Forgiveness, Unleashing the Power of God's Grace. So they kind of, it's also available through our catalog. It kind of reflects back on the individual story from their own understanding and experiences of that particular story and how it impacted those people. Why did you think that was a good idea for the team to put that at the end of the program?
Oh, it is such a good idea. Because again, I have seen just one story, my story, when I share around the world, the way I go to speak, how people react. I mean, with big stories of what happened to them.
Right.
One girl told me she was ready to divorce her husband. And she said, I read your book and I heard you speak and my family got back together. That story of forgiving helped a family to be together that could have been destroyed. And one lady told me she was mad with her mother, with her mom for 20 years. They wouldn't speak for 20 years. She said, after I heard you speak, I went home, called my mom, we cried and laughed. It was over, just like that. There's so much pain you avoid by forgiving. So much things are saved, families are saved, souls are saved. So much joyful, like the lady told me, I can't believe how much affection I prevented my children from having from their grandmother because of my anger. So if we are put here on earth to really evangelize for a purpose, each one of us, we have to hold each other's hand. You know, we have to push each other in the back. So whatever experience I live, I want, of course, to be able to inspire another human being. And that what makes me feel really, okay, I'm here for a reason. So the stories need to be told because there are many people genuinely who don't know how to get out of that place of unforgiving. And we need to help. You live the experience, not just for you alone. And we learn so much from each other.
And even if you're in a situation where you reach out and you forgive that person and that, let's say they don't accept the forgiveness, it still releases that pain on your side.
Completely. People I have forgiven, I don't even know them. I forgive a whole group of killers who were looking for me.
Also, even if you forgive and the other person, let's say, doesn't receive it, it's a release for you.
Oh, yes, completely. It is a release for you because forgiving really is you who have held the anger that is working on that. And when you forgive, it's you have done that, not the other person. You know, I like what they said that, you know, like being angry is like taking the poison, thinking that the person you hate is the one taking it.
Right.
But you are the one drinking it. So truly, again, from experience, letting go of the anger, it saved me. And when I forgave people I didn't even know because people were killing us. There were thousands of people running. Maybe I know 10 out of them, the group that was going to search for us, 400 people. And to forgive, I forgave them. And what I realized was, the moment I forgave, I even realized I hated people who were not guilty, people who were innocent. When I hated these people, I hated their whole families. I hated the whole tribe.
Right.
I thought they were just bad and hating us and they want to kill us. And that's what they were saying on radio. But the truth is, yes, even if that politician is saying that, he can't speak in the name of every single person, just who have the same tribe as them. So when I was able to forgive, I realized I've fallen into the same thing. I hated children who are not even born yet. That's what happened when we hate a group of people. we hate innocent people and they're guilty. I even forgot that the man who was hiding me was from their tribe. So I hated those who did wrong, or who didn't do wrong, who just belonged to the same group. Mm-hmm. And that was so unfair. But when I was able to let go, it was such a freeing,
right.
Yeah, something. So forgiveness, I would encourage people, right. Forgive people you don't know, you know, who you hold in your heart. Sometimes we hate in a country, you know. We mm-hmm. hate the whole part of the whole world.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know them. So if you forgive, do not think about, maybe the other person have to accept my forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah, it's between you and God. Right. And the moment you start to pray for someone who have hurt you, if you really see the wrong right. in them, then you know you're in a good place.
Right.
Pray for them to change.
It's harder to be angry at somebody if you're praying for them.
Yeah, it's true.
Right, to hold that against them. And many times people find out when they end up trying to reconcile, the other person is either like, I don't even know what you're talking about, or
no,
really? I didn't realize that was a problem for
yes.
you. Or I would have said something sooner, and you're carrying it around inside, right?
Yes, that's why when you forgive, at least in my moments of forgiving, mm-hmm. and sometimes I reconcile with somebody, other times you just have to leave them alone and pray for them. But you're right, you realize that later, the things you thought mm-hmm. were so hurtful to you, they didn't even give me a second thought. So we have to forgive small and big, and really just forgive, right. or pray for you to have the strength to forgive. Because some people also, I was there, so it can be hard to forgive.
Right.
That's why I love this series, because you go through different people who have different stories, but who have had like different blockages,
right.
families that forgive each other and are reunited. Families that forgive each other, but they're still distant
right.
for whatever situation need to be taken care of or can't be taken care of.
Right.
But at least you can still pray for that person. You can still love them. One time, Our Lady of Kibeho, she told us in Kibeho to the visionary, to us, she said, when you pray for someone who have hurt you, you are rubbing them away the power of the enemy towards them.
Interesting.
Isn't it so true, though? How nice.
Right.
So like you weaken the power of the devil that mm-hmm. is influencing them. So it's not just that they don't hurt you, but they don't even hurt other people.
Right.
So you pray for them, and the devil loses their soul.
Right.
Yeah, they can come to apologize sooner.
Right. Well, if you're praying for them, and that's wearing that blockage down on the other side, it's
yes.
easier for them to then be accepting of, let's say, forgiveness. Or
forgiveness,
like.
Or letting go of the bad right. things. If you're a rapist, you want to pray for them, not only just to be okay, but mm-hmm. to let go of that
right.
kind of habit. And only God can change that,
right.
can give them that grace. So prayer is really necessary. I think it was genius
right.
for our Lord to say, pray for your enemies.
Right.
You know, you don't want them just to be angrier and angrier, and have more power from the enemy mm-hmm. because he can be
right.
powerful. He's not stronger than Jesus,
right.
but pray for them
right.
and they will lose that.
Well, you know, you have a powerful personal story about Rwanda, and many people out there are dealing with various mm-hmm. different levels of these kinds of things. But some of the stories in here are quite compelling, and we
yes.
wanted to take a look. One of them had to do with Jennifer Hubbard, who was a mother of one of the children who was killed at the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre that was
mm-hmm.
well known here in the United States. So we want to take a look at part of the program from I Forgive with her interview. Let's take a look at that now.
I am a mom of two. We moved to Newtown because Newtown had a great school district. It was 2012, Catherine was six. She had just started first grade. The phone call came in and it was a friend of mine. And she called and she said, something's happened at the school. I think we should get down there.
And we do have the breaking news of a shooting at an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut.
I walked into the firehouse and I saw Freddie. His first response to me was, I can't find Catherine. Catherine wasn't coming back.
So again, a powerful story and a powerful story of forgiveness. I mean, that was a really traumatic experience here in the United States, because you're talking again about young children,
yeah.
you know, the most vulnerable really in many ways, and for her to step up like that, it's really powerful.
I was really surprised. I mm-hmm. was very touched, you know. And somebody say like every suffering pulls a new muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So when you haven't gone through something exactly the way another person have gone through it, you haven't worked their
mm-hmm.
shoes. Though I understand forgiveness and what you work through that, but to see her forgiveness, I was like, really? Oh my, how can you? You know, the pain she have gone through, it touched me in a kind, you right. just never even went through anything like that.
Right.
So it's very heroic, and it shows us that it's not just certain area of forgiveness. We have to be forgiving, be ready to forgive.
Right.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Right. Powerful.
Very beautiful lady too.
And there's some other different stories about, you know, domestic relationships and abuse and things. One of the other one powerful, and it just shows how international the program mm-hmm. is a couple in Australia. Who lost several children from a drunk driver plowing into the kids while they were walking down the street, so, right?
Yes, and then going to literally help other people and the person who actually right. have killed their children.
Right.
You know, there's a lot to learn. And again, I mean, forgiveness is a commandment of God for right. a Christian who is looking to live their Christian life in a right. pure way and wanting to go to heaven, really.
Right.
We must forgive. However, God knows it was difficult.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why he said, forgive how many times? 70 times.
Times, right.
Yeah.
Meaning always.
We will be get hurt, but we have to forgive again
right.
and again. But for our own good, for life here, right. for peace in your heart, forgiveness is so necessary. And to learn from other people who have gone through that, it is so beautiful.
Right. Powerful as well. So let's take a quick look at the Australian story from I Forgive.
The kids were coming to our house. We were going to a birthday party. I said, guys, go for a walk, get some ice cream. Layla got a phone call that no parent should ever get. Something's happened.
And it felt like a war zone.
7 children got run over by a drunk and drug driver. 4 died instantly. Anthony, Angelina, Sienna, and Veronique.
I don't hate him. I think in my heart I forgive him.
That one act of forgiveness shook the community, the nation, and the world.
There's a thirst for forgiveness. Forgiveness has allowed us to face the world, to go out there, to grieve and pray with everyone.
And again, what's great about that is not only their willingness to speak about it, but the fact that it shows that really it's a global situation. It's
yes.
mankind from mm-hmm. Rwanda and your situation, Australia, to elsewhere here in the United States, South America.
Yes.
And it's important for EW10 to show that. That global connection and the universality of the Catholic Church.
Completely. It is, and again, we are working to help people soar, mm-hmm. our own, to save our own and other people. That is one area that is very necessary, especially during this time of the world mm-hmm. where it feels like there's such a spirit that is not good that want to justify people's in their pain and leave them there. If somebody is sick and angry and is doing so many bad things, it's like, oh, I understand them, or they went through something bad. Yes, but they can change.
Right.
Yes, they can learn to forgive. Yes, they can be helped more than accepting the misery. Because
right.
anger really makes you miserable. I remember a time I couldn't smile. I just forgot how to smile until that forgiveness came to my heart. And I was the happiest person. Mm-hmm. And yet the worst have happened outside. So it changes, and we need to help each other.
Right.
And for this beautiful show that you do right. that reaches millions of people around the world, you have such an opportunity
right.
to really help people and families.
Another project that we worked on, we were really excited about, was on Our Lady of Ibejo.
Yeah.
And you were over there doing interviews. We shot on location in Rwanda. We were able to do some reenactments and that.
Mm-hmm.
Were you happy with how that turned out?
Yes, I was very happy. First of all, that EWTN gave a voice to Our Lady of Kibeho.
Right.
Because I remember during the time she was appearing, she would appear to one girl, of course, then there would be 50,000 people waiting
mm-hmm.
outside. I used to be one of them, standing for hours just to wait for the apparition. Because
mm-hmm.
Mary said, I'm coming at this hour, and she would come. And she would say, my children, help me, help me. If I have come to Kibeho, it does not mean that my message only concerns Rwanda, not even just Africa,
mm-hmm.
but I have come to the whole world. As a child, I remember used to say, I will help you. Like, I just want to help Our Lady, you know, because it was too beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her love, her affection, her tenderness, and her simplicity. She just wants us to love each other,
mm-hmm.
to support each other, help the weak, and be happy. And she helps you in your own suffering. So these are so many messages she gave to Rwanda. I mean, one of them, we saw a genocide happen,
right.
and that was something she predicted.
Right.
Not only predicted, but tried to protect us from.
Right.
Pray your
rosary. The river of blood.
A river of blood, yeah.
Right.
She said there will be a river of blood. And what I heard during the 1994, during the genocide mm-hmm. against Tutsis, there was a headline in New York Times magazine said, a river of blood in Africa.
Right.
And this is something away from the apparitions, but right. that literally happened.
Right.
So with that, she wanted to protect us. She wanted us, she said, make prayer groups, pray the rosary together for the peace of this country. If you do, what is coming will not happen.
Right.
and we didn't listen. So to speak to the world, as you can see, the whole world is challenged in some ways. But we can do it with the prayer. Yeah.
Right, and your rosary right in your hands there. And just before we go, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you directly to find out you know, about you coming to see them or more about your own apostolate, how would they get in touch with you?
Thank you. Yeah, please, they can go to my website, immaculate.com, my first name, immaculate.com. So I give retreats, especially about Our Lady of Kibeho. I have my books I signed. I take pilgrimages to Kibeho because Our Lady said so. The first time I took a pilgrimage, I never knew that existed. But she said, bring trips, holy trips that are based on God. So every year I take 3 trips to Kibeho. Right. So I hope people can go to my website and find
them. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
well, it's always a pleasure speaking
with you.
Yeah. Immaculate Ilibagiza, of course, the wonderful television series we're very proud of working with her on, I Forgive. It's also available as a DVD through EWTN's religious catalog, as is Our Lady of Kibeho book, and also Choosing Forgiveness as well. I'm Doug Keck. This has been an EWTN Bookmark show. We appreciate you stopping by. We'll see you next time. Thanks.